The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
Get ready to go into business for yourself. The Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Good evening and welcome to the Franchise Radio Show. This is Tom Skarda. And this is 103.9 FM and Long Island News Radio. Talking to you live from Islip MacArthur Airport. We have this beautiful studio, which is sponsored by Sloman's Shield. And we are having a great night and really excited about a guest we have. Is actually a franchisee, someone who actually keeps a job and still owns a franchise and is building it on the side along with his spouse and a team of people in a company called 18-8 Fine Men's Salon. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But wanted to welcome everybody aboard. And if you're here on Long Island and listening on 103.9, batting down the hatches, we got some good rain going on out there. And if you're listening via the web around the country, I appreciate you guys listening in, and if you're on Facebook, watching on Facebook Live through my Facebook feed, I want to say welcome and good evening. So, as you guys know, I am a franchise consultant, and I own a business that matches people with franchise opportunities based on skills and personality and goals, kind of like the eHarmony of business is what I like to call it. And for 12 years, actually, this month, April, is my 12-year anniversary with FranChoice, helping people find franchises. And it's really been an unbelievable run. I've worked with literally over 1,000 people trying to find franchises around the country, and really honored to help people figure out the pros and cons of franchising, whether it's right for them. And I always tell people, you know, when you work with me or a franchise consultant, you have one of three things that's going to happen through the process. One is you'll figure out franchising is not for you at all. If you work with me, that might be the case, and that's cool. You know, we'll still shake hands and be friends, and that's fine. The other thing that could happen is you might figure out franchising is not for you at all because you didn't know what it was, and now you do know what it is, and so you might go in a different direction, which is absolutely fine. And I want to say hello to everybody on Facebook Live there. Hello, Marianne. Good to see you there. Thank you for watching. And also, the third thing that can happen if you work with a franchise consultant is actually you might find the perfect franchise for you and dive in and build it and live happily ever after, which would just be absolutely awesome. And hello to Chris Frazier there, my mentor in finance on Facebook Live. Hello, Chris. And happy to have you on and watching. So anyway, again, my name is Tom Skarda. I'm here with Paul, and you're gonna have to tell me your last name because I know I'll pronounce that Italian name wrong.
It's Tessitore.
Paul Tessitore. And, Paul, I appreciate you, coming out and, being on the Franchise Radio Show tonight. I, was in your shop today in Woodbury and got a haircut and loved it. I got a haircut from Kane, who is the master stylist for you guys, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Cool. So you're in an 18-8 men's salon. So is that the right phrase? Is it a fine men's salon?
Yeah, the official name of the salon is 18-8 Fine Men's Salon. Right.
Cool. And where are they based?
So headquarters is in Orange County, California. That's where the concept was tested.
Okay. So that's where it was born, in Orange County, California.
Exactly, exactly.
And so it works in New York, even though it was founded in California.
Yeah, exactly. So basically two guys got together. One was a hairdresser and one was a marketer. And they came up with a concept of creating a place where men could go and get a really good haircut and could get other grooming services for themselves without having to be in an environment where they were surrounded by women, right?
Right.
So they created the concept. They opened up one store, then another, then a third. And then after 10 years, they took it out to sell it in the franchise world.
That is a great story, and that's how a franchise is usually born. They figure out the concept on one, and then they go out and build out two or three or so and figure out how to really help people in that franchise world that are not in their store. Just a quick background on Paul. After spending more than 25 years working in corporate America, most recently with American Express and managing business-to-business relationships with large multinational clients, Paul decided to embrace his entrepreneurial spirit and was introduced to 18-8 and opened up in Woodbury, New York. And now the salon has been open since 2014, and it's in the Woodbury Commons shopping area in Nassau County, right off the 135 Jericho Turnpike, to be exact. And really what they offer is all services for men, from haircuts to styling to facials, massages, manicures. It's M-A-N as man, so it's a real manicure. And it's really a great atmosphere. And you could have a cocktail or a cup of coffee while you're getting your haircut. I love it because even before I met Paul and his wife Randy at 18-8, I always got pedicures and manicures. And so I was the guy, you know, with my wife, with 15 other women in the salon, you know, and the only guy, and felt out of place. So at 18-8, I feel right at home.
That's it. That's the point.
Yeah. It's absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So you started in 2014. How long did it take you from the time you signed your franchise agreement to the time you actually got your doors open?
About a year and a half.
So it took that long.
It did take that long. So the most challenging thing in opening up a business is finding the right spot. So yeah. I underestimated how long it would take. As someone that never opened a business before, I thought you just go out and in a weekend find a location. Doesn't work that way. And so it's finding the right size store and the right location with sufficient parking at a rent that makes sense for your financial model.
Right. Yeah. There's no question about it. And you ended up in Woodbury, which I think is just a plum spot for 18-8.
Correct. We looked closely at the demographics, the average income, and all that stuff, right. And it fit the model for what we were looking for.
Because in my company, we place a lot of people in 18-8 around the country and other brands. Now, there's a lot of discount brands, which you could put in almost any shopping center in almost any neighborhood.
Right.
But in 18-8, I think is more of an up echelon brand, if you will.
Right, it's a premium brand. We provide premium service at a premium price. Yep. So you need to make sure that where you're located matches that image. So Woodbury Common works out really well for us. It's a premier shopping center on the North Shore of Woodbury, and our neighbors are like brands. So it fits the model.
Yeah, that. I love the shopping center. You know, it has a lot of great stuff, and my wife likes it there because of the women's store that's right next door, and yep. You know, a lot of great stuff, and good food too. Not to mention Andrea's restaurant and
yep. Getting more and more food every day.
Yeah, really cool. So tell me about your haircutting experience.
I have zero haircutting experience. So everybody, my clients, always ask me that question. So. One of the reasons why you buy a franchise is because you're opening a business about something you know nothing about, right? Mm-hmm. And so you rely on people that have the experience in that area to kind of show you the way.
Yeah.
Give you the manual, so to speak.
Very well said. Very well said. It's a business with training wheels. And you know, I asked that question about your experience in haircutting kind of tongue-in-cheek, because I know that they don't want to award franchises to people that have haircutting experience. And the reason why is if you're a beautician or a barber and, you know, one of your employees doesn't show up, you're going to get behind the chair and start cutting hair.
Right.
And that's not what a business owner does. In a mom and pop shop, that's what happens. And that's when they get only to a certain, they plateau in their revenue. They just can't get out of their own way. And that's a problem with, you know, mom and pop businesses.
Right.
So that's really, it's an unbelievable thing. So, you know, you're more of a finance guy, right? I mean, that's
correct.
so you bring that aspect to the table, but you don't want to be, you're not even in the store every day. I mean, you have a full-time job, right?
Yeah, now, I right? do. I mean, I'm in on Saturdays. And the reason why I'm in on Saturdays is because that's our busiest day and I get to meet many of our clients, mm-hmm. some of whom I know now for the 2 years that we've been open.
Yeah.
It helps me make sure that things are running the way they're supposed to, that the place always looks great, and most importantly, it allows me to check in with the staff and make sure that, you know, they're doing well and they're feeling good about what they're doing.
That's awesome. How about Randy, your wife? Is she there every day?
No, she's there a couple of days a week, two mornings a week. She helps out at the front desk a couple of weekday mornings.
So this is what I call a semi-absentee business.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why we chose this, right? Because as when I went through my due diligence of looking at different options, and there are so many, as you know,
yeah.
One of the things that was appealing to me was the fact that once I got this business up and running, I didn't need to be physically in the store, mm-hmm. you know, on a full-time basis.
Yeah.
And I have the ability from my laptop to get into our front desk computer and see what's going on with appointments and
that's brilliant.
And all that stuff. So it's very easy. I spend most of my time focusing on marketing and managing social media and those things.
Oh, cool. So you have to connect with the Franchise Radio Show so you can see the pictures I took today.
I certainly will do that.
I took some pictures of Kane cutting my hair today and in the front lobby with the young girl who's doing the cash register, if you will.
Kay. Yep.
That's right. And everybody's so great there. Everybody's like so relaxed. Such a great place to be. You know, it's warm, inviting.
Yeah, and that's part of the brand, right? One of the things that we, you know, train everybody on is the hospitality component, right? And I always, when we look for folks to work up at the front desk, I always tell them that, you know, hospitality is about a third of their job. And, you know, we always offer people a beverage and, you know, we hang their coat for them and all that good stuff, making them feel at home.
Just getting Paul on camera here. Okay, there we go. So if people can see, you know, Facebook Live, you know, we have to see who we're talking to here on the radio. But it is really a warm place, and the whole, you know, getting a drink and all that kind of stuff really goes a long, long way for me. So what are you doing for marketing? You mentioned that you concentrate on marketing a lot.
Yeah, it's mostly digital. Found out through trial and error that the biggest bang for your buck is digital marketing. So I advertise on Facebook. I advertise on Yelp. I advertise in a number of different ways. I have plugins to our website for promotions, and we've been experimenting with email offers to clients that might not have been in a while and things like that to encourage people to come in.
Sure. Yeah. I receive some of your emails. Mm-hmm. So. That makes sense. You know, some offers every once in a while.
Exactly.
You know, get a discount, you know, 50% off a haircut or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's a really great thing to do. And your existing customers are always your best customers and your best referrals, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's awesome. So you, I was just going to ask you, in regard to the overall 18-8 business, how many franchisees are there now?
So there are about 400 stores either open and in development.
Oh, wow.
Right. And
it's more than I thought, actually.
Yeah, all over the country. Yeah, I am one of three in the state of New York, the only one on Long Island. There's another salon in Westchester in Mamaroneck, and there's one in Lower Manhattan on Pine Street.
Yeah, I saw the one in Lower Manhattan, and I think that's relatively new.
Yep, about maybe a year, year and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. I mean, it makes sense for Manhattan, obviously, and it makes sense for the guy who likes a little bit of pampering. I mean, it's not for every guy. Let's face it, and that's fine. Not every a Cadillac isn't for every person, and a Fiat is not for every person.
Yep. But so. Everybody loves a great haircut.
Well, yeah.
And so one of the things our sweet spot is giving a terrific handcrafted haircut that we do after a consultation with somebody.
Right.
And the bulk of our customers, that's what they come for, you know. And then the other stuff is just bonus, right? It's stuff that, you know, people treat themselves to if they want to get a facial or a manicure, right, or something like that. We do a lot of guys that are graying want to get their hair colored and they don't want to do it in a woman's salon where a lot of ladies are watching and our stations are semi-private. You can't the way we're set up, you can't see from the outside. So yeah. So if you're a guy and you've got some color on your hair or you've got some goop on your face for a facial, no one passing by is going to spot you,
right,
and put you on Facebook.
That's funny. Yeah, you're right. I noticed that. It was there are little cubbies that are really kind of on opposite angles of each other. And then there's the brick wall, which is, kind of guarding the entranceway, which is nice. But it's very well appointed, and I enjoy that myself. In that, you know, I don't care what people really think, but you know, I got a scalp treatment today.
Mm-hmm.
But Kane went into depth with the consultation on what he's going to do with my hair,
right?
Because we wanted to do something a little bit different, and of course, the headphones now are messing up my hairdo, but and then the way he cut the hair, and he's like explaining like every little thing. I'm gonna do this around the ears, and I'm gonna do this on the top, and
right,
and the blend, and it was like really a phenomenal experience,
right?
You know, and if I wanted to, while he was cutting my hair, I could have gotten a manicure, but I just got a manicure the other day, so I didn't get the
manicure. Didn't need it.
But so I really enjoyed it, and I think it's a great kind of outing for a gentleman. I know that like my nephew Stefan likes to get a manicure and a pedicure every day, although he won't tell anybody. He's probably, mm-hmm, gonna freak that I just said it on the air, but I could see bringing him there, and although he's a shaved head guy, so he won't get to enjoy the haircut as much, but
yeah, we shave heads too.
Yeah, that he would get, you know, the professional, yeah, shave. You know, like if you're getting ready to go, like if you have a big night, mm-hmm, you know, a wedding or something where you're not in the wedding party, but right, you're going to a wedding, you want to get a nice shave and a haircut, yeah, before, you know, go.
We do quite a few groom's parties where the groom and his guys come in the morning of the wedding, and we clean them up and, yeah, shave them up and send them off. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's that is just a big, I could see that being a big key part of the business, doing that.
It's great. And we're right there on Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury. We're right on, you know, kind of in Wedding Alley over there with all those catering,
yes,
establishments and whatnot. So we get fed a lot of business from there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it there. And again, we're talking to Paul from 188 Fine Men Salon in Woodbury. And it's a great place to get a haircut for men. It's a kind of place where you could get other services. And again, Paul, you rattle off the services. What can you get aside from a haircut?
A shave, hair coloring, gray blending, a manicure, facial, scalp treatment. We do waxing, wax remove the hair out of your ears and your nose, and
yeah, yeah,
clean up eyebrows as well.
Cool. So what's gray blending?
Gray blending is like a semi-permanent color that looks real natural. So for guys that are graying but don't want to show up at the office one day with like jet black hair, it's much more subtle, and it just washes out over time. So you don't see that dramatic change from dark to light. So very, very popular service in our shop.
Yeah. So it's not like shoe polish.
No, absolutely not.
That's funny. Yeah, it's really, in the technology in this kind of, you know, hair cutting space. I mean, years ago it was, you know, the scissors and a comb and a razor. And now it got to the electric razors. And now there's all sorts of fancy scissors that are like half cut scissors and all this stuff. And,
yep,
and you could do, you know, real creations for a haircut, you know. And again, some guys just want to get a haircut, and they want to go for the, you know, go to the discount place, get in and out, and that's it. And that's fine. That, you know, it's not for everyone. But I think that if you're the kind of guy that wants to go and get a little bit of, you know, the quote unquote pampering, or, you know, dare use the word metrosexual, It's kind of that. It's for that kind of guy, right?
Yeah, it's really for all kinds of guys. We get the gamut, right? So very frequently we get guys that come in and it's because they're looking to change it up, right? They've been going to the same guy for a long time and they've been getting the same haircut for a really long time and they want to change it up and they feel that if they come to us that they can do that. And I make it a habit of posting before and after pictures of some of our big transformations. I mean, we've had guys come in with shoulder length hair and leave with really cool short haircuts. So, you know, that's what we do. We work with you on a cut and a style that you're going to leave really happy with.
So you transform men in a way.
We do.
People that want to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So you're listening to the Franchise Radio Show here on 103.9 FM, broadcasting live to Suffolk County every Tuesday night and across the web on the franchiseradioshow.com. And we're going to be back in a few minutes. Going to take a commercial break. Thanks for listening. This is Tom Scarter. We'll be back in a few.
To the Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Scarta.
And welcome back. This is Tom Scarta, and this is the Franchise Radio Show. And we're talking everything franchising here tonight. We're specifically talking about how to make that transformation from signing the back of the check to signing the front of the check as a business owner. I have with me Paul, and it's so funny. I have to read it. I have with me Paul from 18-8. Is that the easy way to do it?
Yep, that's fine.
I'm sorry, Paul.
That's quite all right.
Tell me your last name again.
Tessitore.
Tessitore. Oh, my God. Why can't I remember that? Paul Tessitore from 18-8 Men's Fine Men's Salon in Woodbury's here with me tonight. And he's a guy who had a regular job working for American Express and decided to get into franchising. And it's something that a lot of people contemplate, but not many people actually pull the trigger on. And I always share with people that when you're buying a franchise or you're looking to get into business for yourself, it's very exciting first because you're trying to choose between franchise A and franchise B. You don't know. It's, you know, very exciting. And you're talking to your friends and family. You're talking, hopefully, to your franchise consultant about it. And your final decision is not the decision between franchise A or franchise B. It's really the final decision is the choice between uncertainty and unhappiness. A lot of people choose unhappiness, and they don't make a change at all. And then they complain. And when you think about it, the things that you complain about are really the things that you could change. You don't usually complain about things that you can't change. So Paul, sitting here with me tonight, made this quantum leap from, being a regular guy working a job to he and his wife, Randy, owning 18-8. And it's not a small investment. I mean, it's a brick-and-mortar store. It's in Woodbury Commons in Long Island on Jericho Turnpike. The rents are not cheap, and the build-out is not cheap. But he chose to do it anyway. So, Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
So what made you do this? I mean, why did you even start thinking about franchising? How did that happen?
You know, I always wanted to own a business of my own, and I spent my entire life in corporate America. And one of the things you learn in corporate America is that in order to be successful, you need to take some risks, and that if you always play it safe, even in a corporate job, you don't really get ahead.
Yep.
So I felt that it was time for me to take a personal risk and take the leap with my own business. And so after exploring a number of options, eliminating a lot, having different ones added to the list. You know the routine.
Yeah.
This was intriguing to me simply because I felt like it was something that really didn't exist in our Long Island geography, that there was nothing else like it, and that I thought it would resonate with people in the area.
Yeah, and it really does. 188 Fine Men Salon, if you weren't listening before, is a business that caters to men, really men only. Could you really say men only?
Yes.
I mean, it's really for men's haircuts and special pampering, such as, you know, manicures and shaves and facials and things that men may not want to get, you know, in their wife's or girlfriend's salon, right, with all the other women sitting there. So what Paul did is he went through a process to learn about franchising. He was working with a franchise consultant who's actually a friend of mine, John in Manhattan, and really tried to understand the whole realm of franchising, and then really what's the best fit for him, what's the best fit for his family in the future, but also what's a good fit for the community. And he looked at several different franchises. So you're doing compares and contrasts among all different concepts, so you could really get an idea clearly. It's kind of like dating in a lot of ways, right? And I say that to my candidates all the time. You could look at franchising and it's, you talk to a bunch of franchises and you're on the phone and you might meet some face to face. It's really like dating. And the funny thing is the one who looks like the best looking one on the first date usually is not the one you buy. It's like, again, being on a date and you could talk to a bunch of women, you know, in our case, because we're men, and realize that the best looking woman there is actually crazy and you could never spend your life with her.
Right. So, yeah, it's very true. So, very true.
It's pretty funny how that works.
And particularly when you're going down this road with someone else, in my case, it was my wife, it's got to be something that resonates for both of you.
Right.
Right. So some were simply eliminated because one of us
just couldn't see it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a really big deal to, you know, and I always counsel people to have both spouses involved, even if the spouse is not going to be involved with the business at all. It's going to affect his or her life,
right?
Because things are going to be very different as you own a business. And it's not that it's going to consume you 24 hours a day, but it's your business. It's your baby. And right, you know, you got to take care of it. And make, you know, you're making your own paycheck, which is a lot different than, you know, just having a paycheck come in every 2 weeks or whatever it is. So as you went through the process, Paul, what was really, I guess, your biggest trial or, you know, the biggest fear going through the whole thing for you? What did you, can you recall, like, anything crazy that went through your mind?
I think for me, the whole actually going from, you know, you sign a franchise agreement, right? And it's like, this is great, right? I've done it. I'm taking the leap and I've signed this agreement. And there's a long time that goes by between the time you sign that agreement and the time you open your doors, right?
Okay.
And things happen a little bit differently than you're used to, right? So, you know, coming out of a corporate job where things happen very quick, people respond immediately and all that stuff. Now you're a small player working with realtors and contractors and all different sorts of vendors who, mm-hmm, who do things a little bit differently. So learned that I had to adjust my style tremendously, that, you know, doing the email thing didn't always work for a lot of people that I was dealing with, which is a very big departure from being in corporate America when we live in email, you know, all day long. And then just the anxiety of, will we ever get open? Will we, you know, okay, I found a place. Now how long is it going to take to build and how long is this going to take to start? And I somehow thought in my mind that in 4, 5, 6 months, this thing would happen. And it took a year and a half. So it's those kinds of things that you just need to kind of modify your expectations and then change your plan accordingly.
So in a brick and mortar type setup like you have, yeah, it's all about location, location, location. Did the franchise company actually slow you down to say, hey, that's not a good location? you know, go through that whole kind of rigmarole?
No, I wouldn't say that they slowed me down at all. I think that because we were a new franchise in this geography, I had to, you know, do a lot of the legwork myself because they just weren't that familiar with it. Mm-hmm. But once I realized that, I just went with it, you know, and worked with the realtors directly and you know, figured it out.
So I think it's all about location, location, location. So great franchise companies really want to make sure you're in the best spot absolutely possible. So it does take, I think, a longer time than people realize. But then there are also, just to, you know, show the other side of it, there are businesses that are service-based businesses that are home-based.
Right.
Where the real estate is really not the key. And you could actually be up and running, you know, in a few months, two or 3 months. You could have cash flow and everything.
Right.
Sometimes in as quickly as 45 or 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a different animal.
Right.
Altogether. It's less expensive as well, but it doesn't really allow you to be semi-absentee. Like, you keep your full-time job now. You're back at American Express and making things, you know, click for them and that department that you deal with and the B2B client management. But the cool thing about an 18-8 and some other franchises that are out there is that you can keep a job full time,
right?
And run a business on the side.
Right. It's not easy, but you need to get it set up, and you need to put the right processes in place and oversights in place, mm-hmm. and hire the right people, and then staying engaged to the extent that you understand what's going on and that things are going the way you want it to.
So. And the franchise helps with setting up the process and everything with employees. Is that right?
Yeah, there is. At least in with my experience, there were hiring guides, there are training guides, there are guides on compensation and performance management, and you know, it's all, there's like a binder.
They tell you everything.
That's 3 or 4 inches thick.
Yeah.
So the good thing is they give you, you know, they give you the process. For people like me who don't know this business, I follow their process because I think they know better than me.
When
it comes to managing a salon, the good thing is that you are an independent. You know, you're still an independent business owner, so you do have the latitude to do things. You know, to put your touch on things and to do things your way and make your own choices as it relates to where you're going to put your advertising dollars and, you know, how you're going to incentivize your employees and things like that. So it kind of gives you the best of both worlds.
And I think that busts one of the myths that are out there about franchising, because a lot of people feel like, oh, I don't want to own a franchise. They're going to tell me how to do every single thing and I have to do it their way. And I think maybe in some really old franchises, really big, big brand names that you know, that's probably true. A lot of it, they're going to tell you everything. But in newer franchises, like 18-8 is, as a company, is probably only 15 years old, maybe.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And now they have 400 units open. They've only been franchising probably for about 5 or 6 years.
That's about right.
Mm-hmm. And they will give you the latitude to call your shots locally in your market, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Right. Within guidelines, right? So,
well, the guidelines is what matters.
Yeah,
right? That's
exactly.
What you're buying, really.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
And you know, I feel strongly that that's important, right? Because we're turning into a national brand, right?
Yeah.
So I want, you know, if my client happens to be traveling to another part of the country and they walk into another 18-8, I want them to have a repeatable experience, right? And so that's why it's really important for all of us that buy into this to really buy into it, right? And follow the process. But there's been latitude. If you go into all of the salons have kind of a similar basic look, but there's a lot of variety in how different owners interpreted that look. So they all look a little bit different.
Kind of letting Facebook Live friends see Paul and say hello. Thank you very much, Facebook Live folks, for watching. It's great to see y'all. And Brian DeCaro, long time, bro. Hope you're doing well. And you said, how do you feel about a franchise in the infant stages to invest in? Well, Brian, that's a great question. I was going to actually bring that up about 18-8. A young franchise, you kind of have to be careful because anybody could call themselves a franchise. there's no rules or regulations that say who could franchise. There's rules and regulations that say how you can sell a franchise, but anybody could apply with the, you know, you get a lawyer and you could franchise your business. Doesn't mean that it makes money. It doesn't mean that you get support. So my advice, if you're looking at franchising, is to talk to a franchise consultant, you know, somebody like me, and understand that you should have at least, the franchise should have at least 25 units up and running for at least a year for me to feel comfortable. And sometimes that's different. Like with 18-8, when we started representing 18-8 at FranChoice, there was maybe three company stores and maybe three franchises, which is very young. But we knew who the team was there. So when we know that the leadership has franchise experience, then we might start with somebody a little bit younger. But if you yourself are looking at franchising and you don't have franchise experience, you have to be careful.
Right.
Even myself, when I bought my second franchise, which was something called Super Suppers, which was a place where you came and made meals and took them home and froze them and made them at another time that was convenient for you. It looked like a great franchise. It was young, and I realized, and it ended up failing. The whole entire industry failed, not just my franchise, not the franchise company, but the whole entire industry failed because it wasn't something that people really needed. It was a great thing to have, and you really needed money to sustain it, and we didn't have the money to sustain it, to do the kind of education and marketing that was needed, because it was all educational marketing, which is very expensive to do.
Right.
So you have to be careful about the kind of business that you're getting involved with. What made you, Paul, feel comfortable with 18-8? Because they were kind of young when you were looking at it.
I was one of the first 20 that came on board, and I knew that there was risk associated with that. But what attracted me to that was that I wasn't trying to find a small little spot in a very developed franchise network, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of these, you know, established franchises, if you're coming into them now, you're pretty limited in terms of what's available.
Right.
You're also kind of competing with other franchises in the same brand,
yes.
Right? So
great point.
You know, so where I am right now, I've been, it's been like a blessing and a curse, right? The blessing is that I don't have any other 18-8s in my geography that I'm competing with. So I pull people in from, you know, a pretty large radius. The curse is that because there aren't a lot, you know, people, we're not a household word, right? So people don't know about us. So it makes my job of marketing, you know, more challenging and making sure that we're effectively using our marketing dollars to get the word out to people.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot of people call me and they're like, oh, you know, I want to get this brand name. But they don't realize that in a big brand name, a lot of times the ship has already sailed.
Right.
Right, you missed the opportunity to get the great spots. The great spots are already taken.
Right.
And like we were talking about earlier, to find a great spot, even you being brand, you know, the only one on Long Island, the first one on Long Island, it took you a year to find the perfect spot.
Right.
So imagine if there was, you know, 10 other 18-8 franchisees on Long Island all looking for spots.
Right.
It becomes a real tough thing. And if you're in the food business, it's even tougher because there's so many exclusives in these strip malls,
right,
where you know you need a wet space, meaning that you're allowed to have grease traps and stuff like that. And if you're a dessert franchise and one of the businesses has in their contract that there can't be any other frozen dessert,
yep.
I mean, it's like it gets insane.
And we came across that also.
Did you?
Even though we're a men's salon and we only cater to men, in many shopping centers, if there was a woman's salon in there, they had an exclusive and we couldn't get in.
Wow.
So you know, that was a challenge for us as well.
Right. Once it's in the contract, I mean, you know, I guess if I was the lady salon owner, I would say, yeah, I don't care if it's men only. I don't want, you know, it's in my contract. I don't want the guy. If I don't have to have him, I don't need him.
Right. Right.
You know, even though it probably wouldn't affect the business at all.
Right.
That's insightful stuff. Really, really great. I think that I can't kind of express enough that there's like a nuance to finding a right business that's young, but has the wherewithal to become a brand name. Like if you know you sit back and say, man, if I would have bought that, you name it, you know, Meineke. If I would have bought that Meineke 20 years ago,
right.
If I would have bought that Dunkin' Donuts 20 years ago, that's so you know. because you're looking at it, and you're like, nobody knows this. You know, why would I buy this brand?
It's like knowing the right time to buy a stock, right? Right.
It's like that a lot. Know. And that's kind of where I come in and my colleagues and people in my industry, we could look at a franchise and we know if it has the right ingredients. You know, I talk about 8 specific ingredients in a good franchise that's a new franchise.
Right.
And I have, you know, documents. It's in my book. I have a book called Franchise Savvy, which lays out the 8 essential key ingredients to have in a franchise if you're looking for a franchise. And by the way, anybody who's listening, if you want a free copy of my book, Franchise Savvy, I should have mentioned this at the top of the show, but you could email me at tom@thefranchiseradioshow.com, and I will send you a free copy of my book, Franchise Savvy. So again, if you want a free Franchise Savvy book, email me at tom@thefranchiseradioshow.com, and I'll be happy to send you a free copy of my book. And don't forget to give me your street address, because so many people email me and they don't give me their address, which is a crazy thing, but true. So, Paul, we're coming down to the bottom of the show. Anything that you would like to say about 18-8 or to invite customers to your place, website, please, let's have it.
Yeah, great. So we'd love to see your listeners come in and give us a try. Our website is www.188.com /Woodbury, New York, and you can book your appointments right online. You don't even need to call if you don't want to. Real time availability, and all of our services are listed. And we take really good care of our clients. It'd be a great experience for you.
So 18-8, it's the number 18 and the number 8, which is actually the ingredients of steel. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's the way the name was derived was in order to keep steel from tarnishing, they mix in chromium and nickel at 18% and 8% intervals. Yeah. So it keeps the steel nice and shiny and not rusty. So it's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
Yep.
18-8. This is Tom Skarda, and this is the Franchise Radio Show. I want to thank everybody for watching in on Facebook Live. Contact us on Facebook. Also, follow us on Twitter. It's franchise_show at Twitter, and that's our handle. This is Tom Skarda every Tuesday night live, and thanks for listening.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.